This is part two of Pastor David Menard's message on Daniel 11, titled Jesus Destroys the Antichrist. In part one, we explored the rise and deception of the Antichrist and God's sovereignty through it all. Now, as we continue, we'll see how Jesus ultimately defeats the Antichrist with his sovereign power and establishes his eternal reign. Let's dive back in together.
Go to Revelation 19. I'm not going to give a lot of commentary on this. I just want you to see this. This is describing what you just read in Daniel 11. We watched it in black and white in Daniel 11, and now you get to watch it in living color in Revelation 19. Are you ready for this? Revelation 19, verse 11. Are you there? Go there quick. Revelation 19, verse 11. Revelation 19, verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, the king coming. And he, Jesus, who sat on him, was called Faithful and True. In righteousness, he judges and makes war. That is the purpose of the tribulation period, and that is the purpose of his second coming, to destroy a Christ-rejecting world. And notice he comes on a white horse in radiant glory, and he is called Faithful and True. It's very interesting, by the way, in the book of Revelation, in the first three chapters, we have the letters written to the church. It's all about the church. In chapter 4, the Apostle John hears a voice, and it's the voice of an angel that says, come up here. And John says, immediately I was in the Spirit, and he's in the throne room of heaven. So chapters 1 through 3, we have the church on earth. Chapter 4 and 5, we have the church in heaven, raptured. Chapter 6, we have the Antichrist coming on a white horse. The fake Jesus. The instead of Jesus. He comes on a white horse and he is deceptive and vile and evil. Jesus comes on a white horse and he is faithful and true. He comes on a white horse and he rules in wickedness and deception and death. Jesus comes and he's faithful and true and he rules in righteousness. Look what it says, verse 12. His eyes, oh, those eyes. I can't wait to look into them. They're like a flame of fire. They see through all the deception. They see through all the self-justification and they see into the soul of a man. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He has all authority, all power. He is the King of Kings. And he has a name written that no one knew except himself. I love this. You know what that means? It means that we do not have the capacity to understand the depth of who this great King Jesus is. We are mere mortals. And he is so advanced, so far above us. We will go all through eternity learning of his greatness. Verse 13, he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. That's not his blood. That's the blood of his enemies. And his name is called the Word of God. Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. And the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. His name is called the Word of God. He is Jesus. He is the Logos. And verse 14, and the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Guess who that is? That is us. Next week, you're going to see where you get your glorified bodies and where you get that white linen and where you get that. That's not your righteousness, by the way. That's his righteousness given to you. If I was clothed in my righteousness, it would say he's coming in robes that look like throw up, stained and vile. But I'm not coming in my righteousness. I'll be coming in his righteousness, and I'll just be following him as he does all the work. And look at verse 15, underline these words. Now, underline these words. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. What's the sharp sword that goes out of his mouth? His word. That with it, he should strike the nations. He will judge the nations with the word of his mouth. And he himself, single-handedly, with just a word, will rule them with a rod of iron. And he himself, single-handedly, treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God at the end of the tribulation period to bring the wrath of God on a Christ-rejecting world to a close. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one that you have rejected. He comes, tells the world, not you, not the church, but by the way, we have hundreds of manuscripts of the book of Revelation, thousands of manuscripts of the book of Revelation. In every single manuscript, these words, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is separated, indented, and made large, just like it is in your Bible, in every single manuscript. Jump down to verse 19. And I saw the beast, that's the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth. There they are. They're gathered together at the Valley of Megiddo, fighting against Israel, fighting against God. And their armies were gathered together to make war against him, making war against Jesus, who sat on the horse, and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, the one who worked signs and made that statue speak and deceive the whole world, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshiped his image. And these two, that's the Antichrist and the false prophet, were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. The lake of fire that never goes out. Cast into hell. They're the first persons that ever go into hell. Here it is, right here. Eternal judgment. And the rest were killed. That's the rest of the humans that are there in the Valley of Armageddon that are fighting against God. The rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. With one word, Jesus destroys all those armies who are fighting against him with the single word. And look at this. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. Whose flesh? All the armies that were going against God. Just amazing. After destroying the Antichrist and judging mankind, Jesus sets up his millennial kingdom. He has overthrown evil and wickedness. He's overthrown the Antichrist, and Jesus destroys the Antichrist. So thankful. No more war, no more crime, no more deception, no more drugs, no more wickedness, no more rape, no more death. A millennial kingdom, righteousness on the earth, a flowing river flowing from Jerusalem, flowing from the throne of his throne, Jesus' throne, going into all the land and healing all the land. And the last thing I want to leave you with is simply this. Maybe some of you are confused by that passage we just read in Revelation 19 because you just saw Jesus and he is killing everyone, bringing his wrath against everyone. And you say, well, I don't like that Jesus. And maybe you thought Jesus was fluffy, a limp-wristed softy who never hurt a fly. He's not. You were wrong. He's to be highly revered. You better fear him. I'm glad we got that cleared up. This holy God, who comes with such power and force that with a word he will judge the armies of the earth, gave himself on a cross to save you. And today is the day, the day and the age of grace. And you come to him as Savior and as King and as God, and he will save you. Jesus said, all who come to me, I will in no way cast out. He will save you. He will give you eternal life and perfect righteousness as a free gift. But if you reject him, this is your fate. And you say, well, I can't believe Jesus would send me to hell. He will. But he didn't send you. You rejected his offer to be his bride. You rejected his offer for salvation. And therefore, you will face eternity. If you haven't made Jesus your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. If you haven't made Jesus your Lord and Savior, you can have the best Thanksgiving ever. I want you to come forward and ask for prayer and just ask Jesus to be your Lord. And otherwise, may the Lord richly bless you this week. May you be grateful for the majesty of our Savior Jesus. And next week, we'll look at a fascinating close to Daniel chapter 12, close of the book of Daniel, and we'll look at the bodily resurrection of the dead. And I tell you, you're going to love next week's study. May the Lord bless you. Have a great week.
You've been listening to a message from Pastor David Menard. You may freely share this message with others as long as you don't charge for it. Support for these broadcasts comes from your generous donations that allow us to give away our materials for free. To participate with us, please visit our website at themissionchurch.net. God bless.